for me, it was just a day of resolve and resolution. And I said, I'm sign me up.
Well, the first thing is, you know, I told them that I went to jail. And their first reaction was like, ooh, grandmama. You know, I was like, well, let me explain.
It was just, you knew that God was on your side. And we knew that it didn't matter what we were facing. God's on your side. You'll overcome it.
James Stewart, Eloise Gaffney, and Washington Booker are all in their early 60s. They're all from Birmingham. They're all African American. And 50 years ago, they made national news.
American Airlines presents Douglas Edwards with the late news.
In Birmingham, Alabama, the civil rights demonstrators became wholesale today, and police arrested more than 450 Negro schoolchildren who played hooky to parade and picket and pray.
On May 2nd, 1963, Stewart, Gaffney, and Booker were among the teenagers who took part in what became known as the Children's March. It was a protest against racial segregation in Birmingham. If you ever saw the black and white film footage of Negro protesters being met with fire hoses and police dogs, that's it.
Police loaded some of the school children onto school buses, arresting, among others, a 6-year-old girl. The Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth says the demonstrations will continue until we run out of children.
Back then, these kids were just kids. Thousands of them were inspired by civil rights leaders like the Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth, James Bevel, and of course, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. But there were other voices too.
Say it's all right.
It's all right.
Say it's all right.
In 1963, songs by Curtis Mayfield and the Impressions were playing on local radio stations. Fats Domino and Little Willie Littlefield had hits as well. If kids in 1963 Birmingham wanted to hear this music, there was one place to go.
Get ready. Here comes Shelly.
Yes, this is Shelly the Early Bird Stewart. I wake up Birmingham each morning, Monday through Friday. I play nothing but the hits. Now, I bring all of the news.
I was a broadcaster. My audience was a very, I would call, vast audience of black and white people.
Shelly Stewart is also from Birmingham. The radio show recording you're hearing now is pretty old. It's from 1985. But Shelly's career as a disc jockey goes back farther than that, all the way to the late 1950s and early 60s. Tapes from that time are hard to find, but the kids remember. Before the 1963 Children's March, Washington Booker knew Shelley as the Playboy.
Now, how he got that name, I do not know. That is probably an interesting story, but I don't know how he got that name. He called folk out, you know, Mabel Jones over there in Hensley, you up, you need to get up. And then, you know, maybe 15 minutes later, Miss Jones would call, Shelley, you just be waking fuck up in the morning.
Oh, I mean, he did... R&B.
Eloise Gaffney.
But he had one said that said, Timber, let it fall, something like that. And I think that was one of the signals. I know that was one of the signals.
The school kids who took part in the Children's March talk about these signals a lot. James Stewart.
On the radio, Shelley made an announcement and he just kind of said, we're going to do this song. And everyone understood that this was a day of activity. We all knew it. Even the ones who didn't go to the meetings, we were talking to them every day.
Just don't tell Shelley Stewart about that.
I will say at the beginning of this conversation that I have never been a civil rights activist by any means. I want to make that perfectly clear.
The students who took part in the Children's March might argue that point. Tomorrow, Gaffney, Stewart, and Booker talk about what it was like to be teenagers in segregated Birmingham in 1963. That's in part two of Civil Rights Radio. Pat Duggins, APR News, in Birmingham.
I will say at the beginning of this conversation that I have never been a civil rights activist by any means. I want to make that perfectly clear.
The teenagers who took part in the 1963 Children's March see it differently. They say they relied on the code words and signals from Shelley Stewart's radio show to know when the protest would begin. Stewart went by the on-air nickname The Playboy during that time, and he admits even he knew firsthand what school kids, both black and white, could do in the face of racism. When he wasn't on the air, Shelley the Playboy played records at dance parties that included a 1960 event at a Birmingham area hotspot called Don's Teen Town.
There were about 800 kids there that night to witness the performance of Shelley. Well, the Ku Klux Klan showed up that night, and they demanded that the owner, Ray Mahoney, send me outside so they could... So we were going to kill him. And the kids became very disturbed. They bolted out of the door, jumped on the Ku Klux, and the Birmingham News referred to it as a protest. The protest, no, it was not a protest. 1960, those kids who were all white jumped on the Ku Klux and gave me an opportunity to get away.
That was 1960. By January of 1963, the stage was set for Shelley the Playboy and the Children's March. Segregation in Alabama had reached a tipping point.
I, George Corley Wallace, solemnly swear that I will support, the Constitution of the United States,
Governor George Wallace has just officially been sworn in as Alabama's 46th governor. As he leaves the Capitol steps now to come to the inauguration platform for the inauguration address before some 100,000...
In the name of the greatest people that have ever trod this earth, I draw the line in the dust and toss the gauntlet before the feet of tyranny, and I say segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever.
It was mean, and we lived through it.
Eloise Gaffney.
And I, when I tell my kids, they still don't. My children find it hard to believe. And my grandchildren, it's really far-fetched, you know. When I say I couldn't go to Fair Park, and, I mean, you had to pass by Fair Park and see the kids out there playing. So naturally, I was like, why I can't go over there, you know. And I'm sure parents then had a hard time answering those kinds of questions.
On May 2nd, 1963, Gaffney would take part in the Children's March. James Stewart did too.
My mother, when I was very young, my mother took me to town and into one of the stores. And there, I had found out by this time that the tall, rectangular water fountains had cold water. And the ones right next to it, which were the porcelain white basin type fountains, had warm water. So there was a stool in front of the tall one. So I got up on the stool, and I was about to get the water, drink of cold water, and my mother just came out of nowhere saying, "No!" And she lunged at me and swept me away, and she started talking to me about what I could and couldn't do. And those rules were hard to comprehend, because you had to know what's right and what's wrong and what's white.
Gaffney and Stewart would be joined during the Children's March by Washington Booker.
I can remember seeing, some kid with a banana split, a white kid sitting at the counter, a big old banana split. And, I mean, I don't know. I had nothing to compare it to and how it looked. It was just a marvelous thing, and I wanted one. I wanted to sit there at that counter and eat one. And I always thought about that. During the marches, when we demonstrated, I would think about that. I want to be able to sit at that lunch counter. Yeah, so I can order me one of the banana splits. It seems trivial, but it was a part of the way you understood the world.
Booker, Stewart, and Gaffney would soon find themselves in the middle of the Children's March, as well as the response from the Birmingham police that would shock the nation. That's tomorrow in Part 3 of Civil Rights Radio. Pat Duggins, APR News in Birmingham. Birmingham area teenagers who took part in the 1963 Children's March say local disc jockey Shelley the Playboy signaled the start of the protest, but he didn't organize it. The credit for that goes to a lieutenant of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the Reverend James Bevel. One of the students he inspired was James Stewart.
He wore one of the blue jean suits with badges from everybody and all over the, you know, little pins all over him. And he was bald headed and he wore a little skull cap. And he's the one who was kind of the kids' Pied Piper. And he talked to us about getting involved. So it was accumulation of things. And we just reached a point where we said, you know, we don't care. We've got to do something to change this.
And that's where Birmingham area disc jockey Shelley the Playboy Stewart comes in. James Bevel also wanted to use local radio stations to get the word out on protest day. He spoke with Shelley as well as another local disc jockey named Paul White. His radio audience knew him as Tall Paul. Shelley says on May 2, 1963, he and Tall Paul announced the beginning of the Children's March. They just did it in a roundabout way. They used codes.
You had to have codes to get into the community. We said, made an announcement, I want everybody to go to the park. You don't do that. Because remember, there were mothers and fathers who were afraid would lock the doors, and the principals and teachers would lock the doors. So you just went around that. There's, as we say years ago, there's more ways than one to skin a cat. Shake, rattle, and roll. That's an old tune by an artist called Joe Turner. And we say when we play shake, rattle, and roll, that's the signal. Time to go out. So shake, rattle, and roll.
Get out of that bed. Wash your face and hands. Get out of that bed. Wash your face and hands. Well, you get in that kitchen, make some noise with the pots and pans.
And when those kids heard that, they told the teachers, we're gone. And the teachers tried to stop them. They were jumping out of windows at Parker High School. They were jumping. So that is really what took place, yes. And it could escalate it, and the police didn't know what to do about it.
I believe Bill was old, you a devil, and now I know. Well, Lord, I work as fast as my money goes.
It was unbelievable.
Eloise Gaffney.
Everybody just started storming out of the school. Some got out of windows. I told you, Mr. Winston stood at the door. He was supposed to be the bad. You know, it's always the teacher at the school who's really the one everyone's afraid of. And he stood there and said, you know, stop. And the kids just trampled over him. He went back like that with his hands still in the air. They just trampled over him. So we just all marched from Parker down to 16th Street. Carver in North Birmingham is further away than that. But they walked whatever the distance from your school to 16th Street. That's what we did.
I like a one-eyed cat peeping in the seafood store. I like a one-eyed cat peeping in the seafood store.
So we were jammed into the paddy wagons.
James Stewart.
People in the community were running over from the park, and they had seen what was going on. And there were news people, and so it began to be a little chaotic in the streets, and they brought the police out and arrested us, and it was a pretty terrifying experience.
And I felt the emotions and the crowds that lined the streets.
Washington Booker.
And then when the marchers were singing and the people would be singing too, it just, you're just a part of it. You can feel it. And so I had already made up my mind I was going to go. I was going to go ahead and go to jail.
Well, you won't do nothing save your doggone soul.
Jail was like hell. It was 4 days of really hell.
That's in part four of Civil Rights Radio. Pat Duggins, APR News in Birmingham.
Jail was like hell. It was 4 days of really hell.
James Stewart of Birmingham was just a teenager on May 2, 1963. He took part in what became known as the Children's March, and he was one of the first to be arrested and jailed.
We were put in a room probably that could hold 50, 60 people. They put maybe 300 people in that room. There was standing room only. It was a concrete floor, concrete walls, very small windows with the bars on them, and it was extremely hot. And they just kept putting us in that room. We had to develop a system to even sleep. We would make space on the floor, and most of us would stand around the wall or sit in the windows, and those slept on the floor slept on the concrete.
Washington Booker was in that cell, too.
Going to jail didn't, nobody slowed down, broke nobody's spirit. You know, okay, now, we in jail. This is what we supposed to be. This is what we supposed to be doing. Come on, y'all, let's sing. You ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. And we go through, we sang. So it was anything but punishment.
That was on day one of the Children's March. On day two, more protests took place, more arrests were made. But when these students were put behind bars, Booker and Stewart noticed they were soaking wet.
So I was out in the park when they released the fire hoses and the dogs.
Eloise Gaffney.
I was walking along. At that time, it was Fifth Avenue, and it was a whole row of businesses there. And they had glass windows. And, I mean, the water was so forceful that it knocked me into the window. I mean, they were in the park, and this water had come, like, over a block. But guess what? We found fun in it. Some of us just would, you know, lay on the ground and just let the water just push you all across the park. You know, we made a fun thing out of it. You know, of course, some girls, I know one of the girls that were actually bitten by the dogs. So that part was really scary, but the fear just really didn't come. Now when I think about it, I was like, Lord, it had to be the Lord to keep us because we were so crazy we didn't realize the danger.
Today, as the result of responsible effort on the part of both white and Negro leaders over the last 72 hours,
President John F. Kennedy,
the business community of Birmingham has responded in a constructive and commendable fashion and pledged that substantial steps would begin to meet the justifiable needs of the Negro community. Negro leaders have announced suspension of their demonstration.
Washington Booker.
Having access to jobs where we spent our money was part of everything we were asking for. You know, we had a right to be salespeople where we spent our money. But for us as kids, it was kind of, that was far off. But going into the Alabama theater did. You know, sitting at that lunch counter did.
We can hope that tensions will ease and that this case history, which has so far only narrowly avoided widespread violence and fatalities, will remind every state, every
community. The very next year, Congress would pass the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which outlawed racial discrimination. Still, 50 years after the Children's March, James Stewart is still dealing with it.
People today who say, you know, you ought to just get over it. Just get over it. You know, when you see the size and the magnitude of what happened, that's not so easy for you to get over.
Washington Booker gets questions, too, from his grandchildren.
What they can't really get their minds around is understand how we how we took it. Why we ain't just, you know, fight to the death and let it be done. And maybe that's taking it to an extreme, but that's basically what they wonder, you know.
That's one reason these protesters are talking about it now, 50 years later. They want young people to know why they did it and why facing the fire hoses, police dogs, and jail in 1963 was worth it. Pat Duggins, APR News, in Birmingham.